This is the Rob, Anybody, and Dawn Show. 3 decades of settling arguments like, is it a GIF or a JIF? You're welcome. And now back to Rad Radio.
We got this email, rad@radradio.com, from Brianna.
Hey, Brianna.
Just played the pressure cooker for foreigner tickets. 2 more chances at 8 and 9 a.m. Our contestant joins the wall of shame. She got 0 right out of 6. One of the questions was, emetophobia is the fear of what? She passed on. It turns out the answer is vomit, to the point where it cripples your life. Brianna wrote in and says, I have emetophobia.
No.
I have a constant prescription for Zofran, which, if you've never taken that, is a miracle drug. They give it to like cancer patients after chemo, and I forget why I had access to it at one time. It is like the ultimate anti-nausea drug, but it comes, of course, with these horrible side effects and all sorts of things if you take it too much. Brianna confirms what I wrote, what I read about the disease. The phobia controls everything I do in life. It's awful. If I do end up vomiting, I pass out from fear.
Sweet.
Then I wake up, I see what's happened, and I start the process all over again.
No.
It is a living hell.
Yikes.
Yeah. Oh, no.
It is a real thing. As we've mentioned, Mixed Picks, the sports show, comes up this morning at 10 a.m., as it does every weekday on Rad TV and members.radradio.com, and also on the Rad Radio app, and in Sacramento on 104.7 FM and 890 AM. And then, because it's Tuesday, today right after that will be Tech to You Tuesday, hosted by Ian from Tech to You, who happens to join us in studio this morning.
Yay.
For reasons other than to just shamelessly promote Tech to You Tuesday today. But as long as you are here, I understand you're doing an electrical vehicle update, including we're having problems here with the Tesla autopilot
thing. Yeah, a guy died a few years back, and there was a court case that I go over about what happened and what you should and shouldn't trust with those things.
And meanwhile, car prices are through the roof, but you have your eye on a $10,000 car possibility.
Yeah, Chinese made EV for 10 grand.
Okay.
Whoa.
We told the story on the air and promised our viewers and listeners that you would follow up on it, and you did, that AT&T data breach, and there's more to that story.
I went over that last week, and yeah, I have more information, and
it's not good. It's not good information.
No, it's not. But I do also go over how to help protect yourself.
And perfect lead into why I invited you here today. More massive data breaches now involving TV manufacturers.
Yeah, and this isn't the first time with TV manufacturers, but this is a really, really big one.
Okay, so that's all on Tech to You Tuesday this morning, and every Tuesday at 11 a.m. on Rad TV. So I was looking for a reason to bring Ian back. He was a full-time guest a couple weeks ago, and I had a story that I wanted to include Ian in, which we'll get to in a few moments. But there's also been some other tech stuff that's happened. I watched the newest Jason Statham movie, The Beekeeper, which is a classic modern-day Jason Statham movie. The last 75% of it is Jason Statham killing for revenge.
Perfect.
If you've seen Wrath of Man, and this is not a spoiler, it's in the trailer, the whole point of Wrath of Man is Jason Statham infiltrates an armored car company because his son was killed by somebody involved in the company, and he systematically assassinates everybody in very fun ways.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But the reason, the connection to Ian is that the Beekeeper's entire plot is based on a tech support scam. And as I'm watching it, and my wife and I are watching it and going, this is how easy it is. But the victim is played by the mom from The Cosby Show, Felicia Rashad. Mm. So she's in, you know, late 60s, early 70s or what, very trusting, not very tech savvy. She's doing some work on her home computer, and she gets a little pop-up window on her screen. We've all seen them.
Yeah. Oh.
And it says, your computer's infected by a virus.
Oh, gosh.
Don't trust it.
Calls the number. Because that's what it says to do. And
I've lived this with my father-in-law.
And you see how these financial predators fool someone into falling for their scheme. And again, this is the opening of the movie. I'm not ruining anything for you. In the end, the bad guys convince her to give them remote access to her computer to fix the problem.
Yep.
Remote access is the same thing as letting someone sit in front of your computer. They get all of her passwords, and in seconds, she loses millions of dollars, everything she owns. Now, I asked Ian to watch the beginning of it, and like I said, the rest of the movie's all Statham-esque. But while there's an over-the-top movie element to it, how real was that scenario?
Well, there's parts of it that are pretty much spot on as far as what the general concept is, which is you have a thing pop up on your computer. It tells you there's a problem. It tells you to call a number. Oh, computer's busted. Let me call this number. You call the number. The person you talk to is an influencer. There's somebody who knows how to read people, how to have an effective conversation, how to influence, and they make you feel at ease and comfortable with a stressful situation. They raise your tension by making you feel like something needs to be done so that something else doesn't become a problem. And that's really where we as people kind of crumble. That's where social manipulation is so effective, is that it's very easy to manipulate a person into feeling like you're talking to someone you can trust and you're doing something that you need to do. And that's what they completely prey on. That's their entire game.
In that scene, she even says at one point, I think I should call my bank about this. And he, the manipulator, the leader of this group, he's like, okay, well, I'm going to lose my job. I mean, he does. He knows. Yeah. And as I'm watching it, I'm like, this is so believable to me.
It's exactly how it happens. He basically, what he says is like, hey, we're gonna send you a refund for this thing. And she's like, oh, cool. All right, I'm going to get a refund. So he connects to her computer, sends her quote unquote $500. But what happens is when remote access is given to somebody, we have the ability to manipulate everything you see. As technicians, we log into people's computers. And if we wanted to be malicious, it's not difficult for us to manipulate what the person is seeing on the front end of their computer. So what she sees is she got a deposit for $50,000. Oh my God, I put in extra zeros. Oh my God, I screwed up. I'm gonna get fired. I'm gonna lose my job. She's on the other end on the phone looking at this like, oh my God, I feel so bad for this guy who just put in too much money from his company. He's gonna lose his job. He's got a family, tugs on the heartstrings. And he says, if you can just send that back. But the deposit of $500 never even happened. There wasn't what
nothing was
at,
deposited.
Nothing was actually deposited. Yeah, what happened was they took control of her computer. They manipulated what she's seeing on her bank account. It looks like she's logged into her bank account, but it's just a manipulated front end of her bank website. So she says, "Yeah, let me wire you some money." So she sends them over what she thinks at that time is $45,000, whatever it was, and instead, she provided the wiring instructions for whatever dollar amount that they wanted to issue. So she got drained.
And provided her master password, right, which they use for all of her accounts.
Exactly.
I used to think it was a little pretty funny to scam elderly people, but
wow.
After watching that,
that's a horrible thing to say.
It doesn't even faze me anymore when it comes from Kyle.
Well, you think about it, like that pop-up thing, I did this when I was 12 years old. I saw one of those, and I infected my dad's computer at the time, an e-machine, in the early 2000s for a free cruise. But you think they've been around for so long, you think that everybody would kind of get the gist of it. But after watching somebody like the older lady in the movie, you feel really bad. You saw that, and like the disappointment on her face, you're like, oh yeah, that does happen to people.
Which brings up the question, when the pop-up comes up on your phone, on your computer, and it says, oh, you've been infected,
yeah,
what should people do?
One of the first things to point out is that if anything comes up on your computer and says, call this number, no one wants to talk to you. No company wants you to call them, right, to do something good for you. Yeah. It costs money for call centers to operate. That's why they have online chat systems. That's why AI chat systems exist. Red flag number one, do not call someone. They don't want to talk to you. You can call a company that's looking to provide a service, somebody who sells services that's in the phone book. But even more importantly, go to a place that you can walk in and shake someone's hand. Just eliminate the entire possibility of this could be a remote scam. Go in and talk to someone in person.
I'm just surprised. Maybe this is just because I'm a Mac user. You hardly get any pop-up windows at all whatsoever. Is that still a thing with Windows machines?
Very much so. Yeah.
I mean, it just seems so antiquated that is even still a thing. I think that they get past all of that.
When you were describing how their job is to put you at ease, right? I remember, and Tech2U, you saved us from this. Thank you all so much. I walk in and, yep, that's my pops. He is just sprawled on his bed. Because I walk in through the garage to come home, and then his room is at that hallway to my left, and he's got his arm on his ear, right, Lena? And he's just got that computer, and he's talking to someone, and I'm like, oh, this is not good.
Yeah.
Whatever this is, because I don't recognize the voice, right, on the other end, because it's always on speaker, and I'm like, yeah, no. And it was that. I mean, you guys saved us from it. I mean, like they literally texted you, found like they literally had almost gotten in. Because Pop's like, I think he thought he was on the phone with the FCC. And I'm like, really?
Oh, God.
It's not the shut. Texted you, he was like, shut that computer now. And he got off that phone. And yeah, we switched him to Apple products. So no Poppy apps.
Phone number is 888-989-9811. Hello, Dennis. Go ahead.
I just wanted to call and thank Ian and the guys from Tech2U this weekend. We had the same thing. A pop-up blocker came on my wife's computer, and she called the number, and they were using keywords like child porn in the computer, and we got to get in your computer to fix everything. So she came out to yell at me, and I told her, just stop everything and call Tech2U, and I do appreciate the savior.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Yeah, this awesome. It's sad, honestly. Like, as much as I love doing this kind of thing, it's totally countered with a kind of a depressing reality that we get hundreds of phone calls a day, and it's a significant percentage of them are people calling saying, I talked to this other tech support company, they stopped answering the phone, I've paid them thousands of dollars, and they just aren't fixing it. And I'm like, oh no, just it clicks for us. And so I already have my heart sinks, and then as we explain what actually happened, we can hear them just deflate, and it's a horrible, at least we can help, but it sucks.
I can see. So these scammers, they prey on those that are more moldable and that can take advantage of them. But I consider myself a pretty tech savvy guy, but every once in a while I see like my computer flicker, or it takes a little bit longer for something to open up, and I'm like, oh no, is Ian hacking into my laptop right now? Just how easy he makes it sound.
One other story I wanted to do real quick before I get to the actual reason I wanted you here today is this weekend, we already got emails about it, on 60 Minutes, their opening report was about that hack that a lot of us heard about, but really had no idea how big it was, that happened in Las Vegas, unleashed in September on MGM Resorts, cost the hotel and casino more than $100 million, disrupted operations at dozens of their gaming places like the MGM Grand, Aria, Mandalay Bay, New York, the Bellagio. Slot machines went dark. People are scrambling around. They can't get their money. Elevators are malfunctioning. Parking gates froze. This is all happening in Las Vegas, kids. Digital door keys wouldn't work. You can't get into your room. Computers went down. Reservations lines are locked up. MGM CEO admits the disruptions were devastating.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And for 4 or 5 days disrupted their operation. Dang. The hackers had demanded $30 million, and then we'll give you your data back or we'll unlock it.
Wow.
They refused, and in the end, it cost MGM over $100 million in both lost revenue and millions more to rebuild their servers. Caesars admitted they suffered the same social engineering attack around the same time, we suspect by the same group. They paid the ransom, $15 million, and suffered no other disruptions, although the FBI always tells them, don't pay the ransom, etc. They got in through this thing called social engineering, but this is the thing of, whoa, they're hacking the biggest casinos, the biggest corporations.
What? So you think, all right, if you take just on a small scale, you take Tech2U, Ian is the general manager of Tech2U. I oversee our internal technical support to a degree. So that means I have access to kind of everything, right? Now, I have internal security controls that basically protect me from even myself. I have practices that, like, for example, one of the biggest mistakes a lot of people make is they have one email address for everything. So, you know, I've got Ian at tech2u.com. It would be a terrible technical decision to use that as the same email address that does administration for anything important, especially client stuff, right? So I separate out my practices of okay, I have a email account for this. I have an email account for that. I have different ways to log into these types of accounts. So if I was manipulated in some way, I've protected myself by even sort of diversifying my security. But to this situation that happened on 60 Minutes, this was wild because what happened was there was a tech support for MGM who was convinced to reset the password for who they thought was a technical employee of the company. So this wasn't even some super talented hacker. They did nothing from a technical perspective that was really all that incredible or impressive. What they did that was impressive was socially manipulate. It's almost
an employee,
right? It's almost more valuable to be a good communicator who's capable of convincing people than it is to even be a quote unquote hacker. They're not hacking anything; they're just manipulating people and then gaining access to everything that they want.
Dang. All right, so there's a lot more. You can look that story up. You can read the transcript. You can watch it. It's on, I think, Paramount Plus, et cetera, if you want to know more about it. But the real reason I wanted Ian here is actually a parent pile story. Had this planned when you were on full time a week or two ago, and we just didn't get to it. As Brandon knows, sometimes these things happen. But I wanted a second actual parent,
because
Brandon, you've got a 9-year-old daughter at home,
yes,
and Ian, you've got a what?
11-year-old son.
11-year-old son, and one of the biggest concerns is screen time and access to technology. So the Pew Research Center. Went out and did a huge study of both U.S. teens and parents, surveying them both, and came back with a variety of statistics that some of which to me as a non-parent are kind of like eye-opening and shocking and other things. For example, here's some things that some parents do. I'll just give you some random numbers. Half of parents say they have looked through their teen's phone.
Oh.
That means half of parents have not looked through their teen's phone.
Yikes.
Four in 10 parents and teens, so 40% of both, report regularly arguing with one another about time spent on their phone. Hmm. Half of teenagers say their parent is distracted by their phone when they're trying to talk to them. Teenagers, half of them say, "Mom and Dad don't listen to me. They're on their screens." 95% of teens have access to a smartphone. 70% of them say they use TikTok, Snapchat, or Instagram. 40% of teens say they spend too much time on their smartphone. They know that, but they still do it. In fact, 72% of teens, 3 out of 4 teens, say they often or sometimes feel peaceful when they don't have their smartphone. So 3 out of 4 of them, who are 95% of them have them and they're using them, but 3 out of 4 of them feel better when they don't have them or use them, but they can't stay away from them because they're smartphones.
One of my girlfriends, when you were talking about the kids are complaining because their parents are on the phone, mm-hmm. One of my girlfriends, she was over visiting and she was bitching about, God, every time I try to have a conversation with my daughter, she's looking at her phone, she's on her phone, right? Fast forward to her and I having a conversation, and she kept looking at her phone. I said, "Girl, you're doing to me what your daughter does to you. What are we doing here?" And she was like, "Oh my God!" It was like epiphany for her.
So this circles around to what are parents doing? What do they do? Same research: 75% of parents, 3 out of 4, say managing how much time their teen spends on the phone is an important or a top priority. 20% of parents don't consider it a priority. Hmm. 1 out of 5 parents say, "No, I don't care about my teenager and on their phone."
Yikes.
Oof,
which, interesting. I never do this. I almost never break out these surveys by demographic things like Democrats, Republicans, race. I'm like, white people, what's up? In this survey, 25% of Hispanics, 25% of African Americans are more likely to say managing how much time their teen is on the phone is a top priority, where the share drops to 10% amongst us whiteys.
Mm.
What in the world are we doing?
I wonder if that's a cultural thing, because they maybe prioritize their family and their bonding time a little more than maybe the Caucasians.
That's
maybe.
How I see it, like with my Hispanic friends, exactly that, and they're way more strict than my whitey friends, for sure. And then one of our neighbors, I know you didn't mention it, but they're from India, and oh man, very strict about it.
So last tranche of numbers, and then we'll get into the actual discussion. Half of parents say they limit the amount of time their teens can be on their phone. Half don't. 62% of parents of 13 to 14-year-olds say they limit how much time their teen can be on their phone. That share drops to 37% once they're at 15. Okay, so Brandon, your daughter's only 9.
Yes.
What's the screen time scenario and or battle at the Brandon household?
So I battle with this and with myself, because I am one of those parents that doesn't necessarily, I don't prioritize the phone over the conversation with the 9-year-old. It's more of, she sees me on my phone or my laptop all the time because I'm working all the time. So I try to designate those specific times to close my stuff down. But she has like an hour limit usually during the day after school, which I think is I think that's a good habit to have. You know,
that's great. I love that it's just an hour
because she's not awesome on it all the time. But she does have an Apple Watch and she's on that pretty much all the time because she's always getting texts from family or a very few select friends. But we also keep a good lockdown on all that stuff. She does play Roblox on her tablet, but it's on child mode, so she can't necessarily chat with people.
What's your definition of lockdown? Is that the monitoring? Is that have it preset?
With, like, the child safety net stuff. So, like, we have everything secured on child mode. Her watch is in child mode, so she can only get calls from people that we approve. Okay. So Nicole, actually my fiance, her mom, actually has it all connected to her phone. It's like in the family plan, and Mac has, our Apple products have that really good system put in place, but it's still not solid.
But if she wanted a certain type of game, because we do this with Pops, I know he's not a child, but if she wanted anything, it goes to you guys first, and you have to okay it.
Yes,
yeah, so that's how we.
So we have to go to the other profile for the tablet. It's a Fire, Amazon Fire tablet, and so we have to go over to the parent mode. We have to put in our own password, download the app, and then you switch it back over to the kid's profile. But it's one of those things that I am concerned about because I don't know if she knows the password to the parent side of the tablet, which is very likely. But she's a very honest kid, and she's not showing any signs like there's any problems with it. But we do keep a good tab on it, and so we do allow a little bit more time every once in a while, like if we're busy or if she's just not really have anything going on. She's always just playing games. It's really not that big a deal.
Ian, you come at this from a completely different perspective. We have had you on so many times, and this is the number one thing people write in about. Ian, what do I do? Are there programs? Is there software, et cetera? I'm so concerned because all of this stuff that we just talked about is real, preying on children, either as victims or sexually or everything else. And also, you've got an 11-year-old boy. I've never met him. I don't know anything about him, but I know there's a huge difference between 9 and 11 and a 9-year-old girl and an 11-year-old boy. You're in the tech industry. Yeah. Whether you want to talk about your personal situation or just make it broad, where do you go with parents who are listening to this going, oh my God, I just heard about these scams. I know there's all these sickos that have, I mean, in fact, there's this whole other study that just came out from the FBI that it fell under the heading of too icky for rad radio. We just didn't need to do it.
Oh.
And I knew we wouldn't have time to fit it in, but child abductions and anything that falls under the child abduction heading are way down by the traditional standard because they've all gone to the internet. They've all gone to social media. They've all figured out how to prey on kids using it. So when parents start to learn this stuff, they get terrified and they run to you, Ian, and go, what should I be doing?
I think that, like anything else, you know, all in moderation when it comes to and do whatever is best for your child. Every kid is different, right? So some kids are very great at self-regulating their time on anything. But my son is one of those that, for the most part, self-regulates his time. He loves to go outside and play, thankfully. Nice. That's just something natural. I didn't have to inspire it. But, yeah, when it comes to the technical side, we enable on his Apple devices, we enable screen time. There are comparable features that you can use on any type of Android device or like what Brandon was using, an Amazon Fire tablet. There are ways to implement from a very simple technical level limitations of what you can allow your child to access and what times they can access those things. Apple has even really stepped up in certain ways recently where if a child's account receives an image that's likely not something a child should see, it can actually detect it and notify me as a parent that an image was received shouldn't be on my kid's phone. Those types of technologies will continue to improve. When it comes to the more extreme side of things, again, I'm very much an in moderation and a promoter of communication with your child and explaining things to them. At even only 11, I've already had the conversation with him of there are things on the internet that you might find that you might end up having the perception that is normal because you found it, but it is not necessarily the normal or a healthy thing that you found. And it's important to understand that we can talk about what you found or if you have questions, you know, because I ultimately what I do know is that as he gets older, he will bypass and he will be capable of bypassing whatever restrictions even I'm capable of putting in place. He's an intelligent young man, and he's going to figure it out. And I think that's where education is so important. But the other thing that I'm doing to help restrict him from things that are really my biggest concerns or dangers is he is not on social media, and he will not be. As of right now, my goal is like 15 years old is the time where we can talk about it. But what I'd really love is that he gets to a point where he says, hey, social media is just junk. I don't need this. I want him to develop that concept and really never find an appreciation for it.
Good. So, oh, man, I love that.
When
so
we
much.
Were talking about the scams, particularly the opening of the Beekeeper movie, you mentioned that one of the, you know, it's kind of like being a vet, right? You get into becoming a veterinarian to help all these animals, and yet there's this horrible thing where you see horrible owners and you have to put animals down. You're helping people constantly, and yet you get this sick feeling knowing how many people are getting scammed. Now let's transfer this over to how do you feel as a guy who sees what is happening to kids, hearing that half of all American parents, they don't even look at their kids' phones.
God. So I have unfortunately been involved in more than a couple of cases where we've involved the Sacramento Sheriff. They have what's called the High-Tech Crimes Division Against Children. As Tech to You, we are sometimes unfortunately put in circumstances that require us to engage the authorities. Yeah. And we've seen things that I would, you know, they just bring down the show, don't want to talk about it, horrible. And so, yeah, it is top of mind for me as a parent, but also when we do provide services to parents, whenever they ask us like, hey, what can I do to protect my kid against XYZ things that I'm afraid of? Honestly, like for most of our staff, that's like, oh, thank you so much for asking. Here's this list. We can start here. We can do this. We can do that. And like, you're really getting our gears going if we can have an opportunity to engage protections for you, because there is so much available now. And looking back to when I was 13, 14 on the internet, there was nothing at all. There was no technical resources whatsoever to automate the process of childhood protection. And what we have now is so, so powerful and underutilized. So yeah, I highly recommend you don't even need to call us. Look up screen time if you're using an Apple device. Look up screen limitations if you're using Android devices. There's free software. I recommend a program called Custodio that starts with a Q for PCs. Fantastic for limiting things that kids can access. These are really easy starting points to protect your kids from a high percentage of things you wouldn't want them to have access to.
Our first round of nieces and nephews, they're about your age now. Mm-hmm. So it's like, but that my sister would put that computer, one of my sisters was in the living room. There was nothing for what you're talking about, because there's nothing put in place. They could not have any device of any kind. Not that there's a lot to choose from then, but you know, the big old hunk of computer in their room at all. It was in the living room, and where she literally could see it, like her chair was right there behind it. Yeah. So, yeah, and it was obviously limited access.
We got this email, RED@radradio.com, from Eric.
Hey, Eric.
Says, our daughter sounds very similar to Brando's. I'm not too worried about what she does herself. I'm way more worried about her being naive to certain things, even though we talk about it, as well as her quote-unquote friends. They have a big group text thread. They play Roblox. Yeah. And I worry more about her naively doing something or potential cyber bullying. Yeah. Our rule is that her phone is my phone. Anytime I want to look at it, I can, even if she's in the middle of a game, text, or whatever. It is nerve-wracking for sure to have your 12-year-old have access to this technology.
Yeah, hearing horror stories about how Roblox has been used to for adults to, because it's a role-playing game. There's a lot of role-playing games within it, so you can pretend you're like a babysitter and the other person is a baby, and so you're going back and forth and reenacting these scenarios. So it could be anybody you don't even know who's on the other end. So it could be some guy in a basement, you know, and it's awful to think about. So that's why we put the child mode on that game in particular. But this does worry me, because I know that her innocence is on the line, but and she's going to figure it out someday. But at the same time, the one thing that also worries me is if you just go to YouTube Kids, in the YouTube Reels, those kind of things. Yeah. Like you could be watching Bluey videos and acrobatics, and then all of a sudden there's this music video that has like this dark, twisted lyric to it about what you know you do with your body parts and stuff. Yeah. Like and they just like plant those things in there.
God,
I definitely wouldn't want to participate in the show to instruct parents on how to parent at all. I don't want to do that, but. What I will say is that there is infinite value in sitting with your child for a short period of time and just pretending to be interested in their game or what they're doing. Sit with them, bring them in the couch with you, watch, let them show you. They're excited to show you most of the stuff anyway. Let them show you Roblox for 30 minutes. You will catch stuff that will freak you out. But at least the benefit of that is that you can now identify this is how it's done. Now this is what I need to take action on. Rather than just living in the fear of what could happen, I'm devastated, I'm scared, I can't do anything to protect it because I'm not technologically inclined. Just give them 30 minutes of your time now and again. Sit down, watch, you'll learn a ton.
See, this is one of the many reasons why I love my fiance so much is because of how attentive she is as a mother, because she'll do just that. She will say, what's going on? Like, what's the game? Right. Let's watch it. And it's gotten to this point where she's totally comfortable and normal with that. It's not like invasive or anything. But doing that, we did realize that there's a game on Roblox because it's a bunch of mini games inside of it. And one of them was a Squid Game themed.
Oh, damn.
So like they were making the cookies. They were in the cookie, you know, the cookie scene in the playground. And if you didn't cut your cookie well enough, then you die.
Oh, God. Okay.
So there's like things right, like that like where people are being murdered.
Oh, jeez.
And it's
like, I don't want this for you at 9.
But it's all like veiled in this like, fun time. It's a game and everything. So we've gotten as far as, well, we're going to get our own Roblox account and we're going to make our way into there just to see how the functionality is beyond that. And so,
that's smart.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy how like a lot of people don't want their kids outside or down the street, or at a park where they can't see them, but you give them access to the world.
That's funny. Yeah.
What are we doing here?
We actually, the neighborhood.
I had never thought of it that way.
That's crazy.
Grief. I get this from, you know, one of my girlfriends. Well, a lot of them have teenagers now, and it seems to be next level. It's not like it wasn't starting to become an issue when they were younger. Obviously, you guys have already seen all that, but it was next level. And one of my girlfriends was like, are you kidding me right now? Because she ran into that where she started asking other moms what they were doing, and some of them were like, you know, they're old enough, whatever. And she's like, you're giving them access to the whole world, but I know you, mom, how you don't want them over at so-and-so's house without you being there visiting too. You know, it's like weird.
It's such a double-edged sword because I could see how parents would view just plop them down on the couch with a device and don't go outside because it's scary and dangerous out there. But having access to the whole world is even more scary and dangerous.
God, yes.
And the parents that don't check the phones are like, well, you know what? I'm going to be on my phone anyway. So the phone will just be the babysitter. That's fine.
Yeah. Can I keep you for an extra 10 minutes?
Sure.
Okay. Because emails are coming in, red@radradio.com. We'll get to Master Movies for your foreigner tickets. I promise. Just give me 10 more minutes. This one says, I was wondering if Ian could recommend a program or app for parental controls on a phone that works across platforms. My family is an iPhone family. And the outlier is me and my Android, and I don't see myself changing platforms anytime soon. My daughter is going into middle school next year. She will be getting a phone this summer. The iPhone controls are good, but I don't have access. Only my wife does. Yes, I am more protective over my daughter than my son because I am a toxic man in that way.
I hate to give you this is not the answer that you want to hear, but you need to just buy yourself a $50 used iPhone, connect it to Wi-Fi only, keep it at your house. You can use that as the controller.
Go.
It's the cheapest way to accomplish what you're doing. But yes, there is software that you can get for phones. I don't really recommend them because they're incredibly easy to bypass and they're not all that effective. Apple's integrated screen time is kind of the gold standard and you should use it.
And I think, you know what, you just mentioned something. I think people don't think. They think I've got to go buy a $1,300 iPhone to be. No. Nope. Just get a used phone. You don't use it for anything other than access to this.
Exactly.
But is this where you really want to bury your feet in the sand? I refuse Apple. I will stay with my Android. I don't care that I don't have access to my child.
I appreciate it.
I mean, what's more important? You
it's
know?
Okay. It's hey. I like. Yeah, we need competition in the market. No, I'm fine with it.
Totally fine with that. But yeah. To put it over your kit, you know, like, but, oh, I don't refuse. Because,
but you know the answer to that question is yes. For when it comes to technology, there's a lot of people who will not. They're like, I was that like that for almost a year with my wife when we met. She was an iPhone user, and I was an Android user. I mean, and we're talking about a relationship you're building all that. And I'm like, no,
because you get
provincial.
I know, I totally get that. But I hear so many times from parents where they're constantly doing things they don't want to do, but it's the right thing to do for their kids.
Sure.
So in this case, right, like maybe you don't get to be provincial.
Or maybe you could do the compromise that Ian, thank God you're here, provided. William wrote in and said, I love what Ian said about social media. I think it's wonderful how he's raising his son to hopefully stay clear of it. I hate that my nieces and nephews are growing up with it. It is trash. I gave up all of it almost 3 years ago as a 37-year-old man, and I can say I'm the only one in my family that gave it up. And I am much better off without it. Life is much better without social media.
You can probably understand my mindset working for a company that's developing a social media application that's all about positivity because we're so tired of the toxic nature.
Yes.
I have eliminated so much social media from my life. Some of it I've needed just for businesses, but I would love to rid myself of it.
I used to follow so many more pages on Insta, and then you just start eliminating them because it's like, if I'm gonna open my feed, which I don't go to Insta a lot, which I know this is the business we're in, I just want something happy popping up. I don't need any garbage, nothing toxic.
We're talking to Ian from Tech to You. Phone number is 888-989-9811. We do have a couple of generic questions or non-related to this as well. We'll fit those in and then let Ian get to actual work. Go ahead, Derek, what's up?
Hey, so I'm calling in regards to the Circles app. I'm actually planning on investing in it today.
Nice.
And so my question is, you know, the bottom dollar is $250 to get my foot in the door. Can I keep adding to that on top of that amount as a financial vault, you know, can do it?
Yeah, the answer is yes. Up at least until now, what we can tell you is that will be until the end of the day on Friday, which is the cutoff. And we anticipate that there potentially will be another round that we open up for funding, but we don't really know that for certain. You know, as we continue to talk to investors, that's possible we won't open another round. And really, your ability for somebody to invest on with low dollar amounts is going to be limited to these crowdfunding resources, which we currently have available. We anticipate, again, it'll go through Friday, but after that, it is not. We're not really certain that it will be open up for anybody to invest more again in the future.
You just go to radradio.com right there on the homepage. Click on the Circles logo. It takes you to WeFunder. That's how you can invest. But again, it closes this round midnight on Friday. And just because you invest, say, today, doesn't mean you can then log into your WeFunder account next Thursday and start adding to it.
Yeah, once this round is closed, no investors that have invested can continue to unless you did so in larger terms privately.
We talked about this last week. We had Danny and John on from Circles. Download the app and use it and see if we're right. It's Circles with an S. It's free in the App Store. Start using it. You know, you follow people, follow the show, follow Ian. He is on there. If you have any friends that are using it, and just see, are we right? Is this a much better way to run a railroad than Yelp? Because that's why Ian and I and so many people are personally, financially, deeply invested in this thing because we believe in it. And if you go, no, you guys, this isn't what the world's about, then you wouldn't invest.
Yeah.
If you look at it, you go, oh my God, this is life changing. This is like getting out of social media.
Ugh, yeah.
That's where all of that comes in from. We got this note from Sheila.
Hey Sheila.
Says Dawn was almost right. Oh, almost. I can't play the jingle.
Dang it.
When saying that you're giving your child access to the world, this was your whole. We won't let him go outside, but you know, on the internet.
But here, while you're inside, here's the world.
Yeah. The reality is that you're giving the world access to your child.
Girl, yes. Oh, my gosh, yes.
Wow.
And the fact that only half of parents are monitoring the phones, what the hell? I really want to hear from those parents as to why. Why do you not monitor their phones?
It's hard to do that.
I, is that what they're going to say?
That's sarcasm.
Well, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely
like,
sarcasm.
They won't be my friend. They'll get mad at me. We'll get in a fight. Yeah. I mean, you know, my girlfriends, a lot of them with their teenagers are like, you don't engage with the teenager. You don't do the tit for tat back and forth. And now you've become the teenager.
This, by the way, is not news. And Dawn and I can attest to this not being news. Even Ian, who's younger than us, can attest to this not being news. Teenagers know certain things like privacy rights. It's mine, and they'll yell at you'll yell these things, right? Yeah. Right. As a young kid, you know, Dawn and I's thing. As a young kid, I'm not saying Dawn did this, but we would do the whole "I'm going to call the child abuse hotline."
I should have,
because you see it. See, Dawn had a legit reason. I didn't, which is why my dad would say, "Cool, I'll dial the number for you."
Yeah.
So, and sometimes that's all it takes is that sort of pushback.
What I meant by you should engage with your teenagers, yes, I mean like when they're being back and forth, yeah.
There should seriously be some, like, random cell phone checks as a parent. Like, imagine if I had a cell phone back in the day and they were all smart like they are today, and my mom had a rule, it'd probably be like, hey, it's random cell phone check time, hand over your phones, and she would have to go through them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'm so glad that the desktop PC came along when it did, because it was like, you know, e-machines, all that stuff that came out in the late 90s. I was way more tech savvy than my parents. If I had this technology at that age, I would be way more of a heathen than I am today. But at the same, so when it comes to like giving the kids, you know, they're going to shout privacy rights and all of that. And our daughter, we strongly believe in autonomy and that she should have her own identity and not to be prying into her privacy or anything. But at the same time, I think we've instilled in her, well, at least Nicole did, because her whole family is all about safety, you know, stranger danger, all that stuff. But like to more than the common parent, I think, would. So we're always checking. Oh, so, you know, we're just going to instill in her that all of these devices and things are a privilege. So we're going to share this information with each other so that we're not busting in the door kind of like Kyle's parents would do and say, all right, phone check, you know, like the Gestapo. That's like, we got to see what you're doing.
One of my sister-in-laws, it was like you're at the airport security every night at the house. They're handing over every night, every single night. Her kiddos had to hand over phones, laptops, like all the stuff. It's like she's doing airport security. It's all mine. You don't go in your room with it. You don't go to bed with it. And she would check all. It became fun time for her too. What can I find tonight? I mean, it was amazing.
I love that idea, but you'd have to, as the parent, put your stuff in there too. Because if you're like,
she doesn't. I mean, yes. How you guys parent? She's like, I'm the adult. I get to do other things that you don't get to do as the kid.
Fair enough.
Boo-hoo.
Moving away from the ick, but a question a lot of people do have. Matt wrote in and said, I have a simple question for Ian. What's the deal with the cookies option? When you open up a website, it says, do you want to allow cookies or block them? What choice should we make?
I generally would say if you have the opportunity to decline them, you may as well, because you don't necessarily know what they're storing on your PC. It's usually not malicious, typically not something that's going to harm you or your experience, but if just for the sake of your own privacy, generally decline what you can. If it says allow only necessary, that's always a great option, because they'll put tracking cookies that are there that are actually helpful, makes pages load faster, things like that.
So if we're going to take it up to a vote, I'd say you choose Oreos.
Speaking of just tech to you in general, Andy says, I just started listening. Can you help people that are not in California or Nevada? I'm in Arizona. I want to help my parents get help with their computer. They are also located in Arizona.
Oh, shameless plug. Yes, absolutely. Tech to you offers remote support services too. So you can go to tech2.com, www.tech2.com. Call the number up on the top of the page and we can help you out. We do services across the whole planet.
They can speak a language that your parents would understand.
Yes, yes, they know how to. Yes. They have walked my mother at 83 years old through so much. And if you go to, if all of that was too much for you, anytime, you can go to radradio.com. You go to the Radvertiser page, scroll down, and there's all the tech to you information.
Thank you.
No Name says, I just watched something on Netflix called Antisocial Network. It gave a timeline of how the current toxic social media environment was created. I'm curious if Ian or anyone from Tech2U have seen it and how accurate that evolution of online hate was depicted.
I haven't seen this one in particular, but I've seen a few that are very similar. And I remember one that basically had that exact same description, but a different name. I wish I could remember the name off the top of my head. But the general concept is, yeah, the people who designed social networking as we know today had no intention of it evolving into what it currently is. The intentions were completely different. It was a way to connect people, a way to talk to your friends from high school that you haven't seen in years. These were designed by engineering thinking adults that had good intentions. And then it was this tool, which is incredibly powerful, was given to the masses and is used for bad by those who want to use it for bad. So because it is a powerful tool and people who are using it maliciously have access to it, it inherently has turned into what we know it as today.
And again, this one's called Antisocial Network. It's on Netflix. In 3 hours, Ian will be on Rad TV at members.radradio.com. You can hear it also through the Rad Radio app and in Sacramento on 104.7 FM and 890 AM. We do it every week. It's called Tech to You Tuesday. We're talking about electric vehicles. They're murdering people, but you can also get a $10,000 version. You got both of those.
Yeah, good.
This AT&T data breach is worse.
Yeah, well, more information about it, but also how to protect yourself if you were affected by it.
And now they're also stealing our data through our TVs?
Yeah, well, you got to watch out for that. If you don't want a TV connected to the internet, it doesn't need to be. There's solutions.
Really? Oh
my. Yeah. Gosh.
Because it seems like, isn't that how you stream?
I know.
Check out the Tech to You Tuesday. I'm going to go through all the answers.
All right, good. That's the idea. Tech to You Tuesday today at 11 a.m. Ian, thank you so much for being here.
Gladly.
We're going to play Master of Movies right now. We got tickets to see Foreigner. You get a pair of them. The show is at the Hard Rock Live Sacramento Friday night, October 18th. And everybody that wins tickets is qualified for the grand prize drawing a week from Friday to be upgraded to the front row. You're going to get a movie clip, and you have to tell us the title of the movie it's from. Caller 18 guesses first, then 19, then 20, and if nobody knows the movie...
TV without the internet? What is this, the 90s?
Yeah, come on, man. Drop what's everywhere and no winner.
We need a winner.
888-989-9811 for Master of Movies.
Rob.
Anybody.
And Dawn. The Rob.
Anybody.
And Dawn Show.